City Talk 105.9, this is the home of great music and great conversation, and this is Take 5 with me, Will Batchelor, the show that invites you to imagine that your house is on fire, but in a nice way. The reason it's nice is because you got your family out, you got yourself out, and you've got all living creatures in the house out, and you even have time to go back in and collect some precious vinyl. That's right, you get to save 5 records. That's why it's called Take 5. You get to pick 5 records from your vinyl collection that you will save from the flames. You even get to choose a book as well, and a film, and a photograph, and an object of sentimental value as well. That is the way the show works, and the person today who is putting himself into that metaphorical situation is Chris Grayling, MP, Shadow Home Secretary, and MP for Epsom. Is that right, Chris?
It is indeed, yes. Home of the Derby, the country's other great horse race alongside the Grand National.
Oh, we shall have to find out which one you prefer later if there's time and really put you on the spot. But before we do that, we have to find out which 5 tunes you've picked. It's also worth mentioning, of course, that you are also the Minister for Merseyside within the Conservative Party, Shadow Minister.
That's right, yes.
Who's your opposite number in that?
Well, actually, there isn't one. This was a David Cameron initiative 3 years ago. We are politically weak in a number of big cities. And so basically what he did is send out members of the Shadow Cabinet as ambassadors to the city where we're politically weak. And Liverpool's clearly one of those, as people will have spotted. And so my job's been really to, first of all, rebuild ties between the Conservative Party and people in Liverpool, make sure we're aware of what's going on, be a voice for Liverpool in the Conservative Party and vice versa, and try and help begin to rebuild the party here.
It seems almost that you must have been preordained to have some kind of connection with the North West, because although you were born in London, I think raised in Surrey and educated at Cambridge, you've had various sort of dalliances with the North West. You stood in Warrington in 97 unsuccessfully as a member for the Conservative Party. You also are now Minister for Merseyside. You even support a football team which is not too far from here, although some would say not far enough, Manchester United. Have you got some kind of natural inclination towards the North West?
Well, I used to live in the North West. My parents still live in Cheshire. I lived through my university years out in Cheshire. I keep the football allegiances quiet. Now, I do cheer on Liverpool when I'm in Liverpool, I have to say. I'm not one of those who believes in the hatred between teams. Mm. But you can blame my son for that, who is the ardent Manchester United supporter, and I've now started to take him occasionally to matches. But the affinity with the North West, I've lived here. I love the North West. It's a great area. Lots of vibrant cities, as well as some great places close by. It's Snowdonia, the Peak District, the Lake District, all on the doorstep. It's a great part of the country.
And your other hat, of course, is Shadow Home Secretary. You've been in that position since January of this year. How have you found that? Because clearly that is a much bigger brief than Minister for Merseyside.
It is. I mean, it's a challenging brief. It's a fascinating brief. Big issues in terms of trying to deal with some of the law and order problems we've got. Antisocial behaviour in particular, I feel very strongly about. I've talked to shopkeepers in Liverpool who are passionate about the need to tackle antisocial behaviour, who are really suffering as a result of it. And I do believe that antisocial behaviour is the root of other things. If you look at some of the gang problems that we've got in the city, some of the horrendous incidents like the killing of Rhys Jones, if you look at those who are involved in that world of gangs and guns and knives, then I think very many of those, 2, 3, 4 years previously, will have been involved in acts of antisocial behaviour. And I don't think we intervene early enough. I don't think we stop them. I don't think we punish early enough. It's very easy to get away with it and get away with it and get away with it and then eventually go on to something worse. And so I want to give police simple powers to intervene and punish young troublemakers committing acts of antisocial behaviour much earlier than happens at the moment.
Well, you have to put aside your Shadow Home Secretary duties for a little while now, because we're going to imagine that your house is on fire. Don't worry, it's not really. You are going to introduce the first of your 5 tracks, which is an absolute belter. It's by Dire Straits. It's called Your Latest Trick, which some would say is an apt tune for a politician, which is a game that doesn't have the best reputation at the moment. Is that a fair comment?
Possibly. I mean, I just love this. Fact, all the music's really just stuff I picked up because I really like it. But this has got a great sax start. It's a wonderful intro. But it's also a scene of a great political triumph over the Health Secretary, Andy Burnham, because I was asked to bring forward my favourite record and indeed a favourite TV show to an appearance on the politics show. Mm. Andy was there as well, had to do the same. And then they got the viewers to do a vote about which of our choices they preferred. And I have to say that Dire Straits saw me home ahead of Andy.
And which one did Andy Burnham choose? What was his track?
Andy's band was The Lars. So,
which is a fine Liverpool band as well, but I've got to say that it would be a tough one for me. I think if it was There She Goes by the Lars, I may have had to side with Andy Burnham on that one. But this is an absolute belter. As you say, the saxophone intro alone is worth the price of the tune. And Dire Straits, Your Latest Trick, is indeed your first tune, Chris Grayling, on Take 5 on City Talk 105.9. City Talk 105.9, the home of great music and great conversation. And that, of course, was Dire Straits, Your Latest Trick, the first choice of my studio guest for this hour on Take 5, who is Chris Grayling, MP, Shadow Minister for Merseyside, and Shadow Home Secretary, no less. And that was the first of five tunes which Chris will be rescuing from a metaphorical house fire. He also gets to rescue a film, a book, an object, and a photograph, which we'll get onto very shortly. That's an absolute belter, Dire Straits, from I think it was 1985, 86, the Brothers in Arms album. Is that a coincidence, Chris, do you think, that many of your tunes, I have them here, are from the 1980s, or is that some sort of hankering for the golden period of conservatism?
I'm afraid I'm just a child of the 1980s, that there's a bit of 70s and something a tad more recent, but my music tastes go from about 78 to sort of 10 years later, and so no coincidence that three of the five are great 80s songs.
And of course, you haven't always been a dyed-in-the-wool conservative. You had a dalliance with the SDP, didn't you?
I was tempted into the SDP by a young lady I rather liked.
It can happen like that.
It did, absolutely. I'm afraid the attention I offered her was absolutely not returned at all, but I ended up a member of the SDP for a year or so while I was at university. And then, ironically, it was the saga of Liverpool Broad Green that divorced me from the SDP. It
was and for those who don't know, what was the saga
newly formed SDP and the Liberal Party fighting like ferrets in a sack over who was going to put up a candidate in Liverpool Broad Green. Mm. They couldn't agree, and I looked at this and thought, blimey, what a shower. And so I said, enough for me. And that's what started the separation. And I was not involved in politics for many years. And then right at the end of the 1980s, kind of woke up one morning and thought, well, I've always been interested in politics. Really now decided I'm a conservative. It's time to get involved.
I love the idea of dabbling with SDP at university. Did you inhale is the important question.
Not very much, I'm afraid, no.
It was for the love of a good woman. And believe me, people have done even more foolish things than join
unrequited.
The SDP. Now, this is a show which asks you to choose five records. We'll get to your next one shortly, but you also have to choose a film that you would save from the metaphorical flames as well. And this show has only been running for just over 2 weeks now, Chris, and you're the second person to choose this film, The Shawshank Redemption, which I think just goes to show what a classic movie it is.
Well, I kind of thought round what the options would be, and I have a great favourite, Diva, the French thriller from the early 1980s. The Blues Brothers I love, but The Shawshank Redemption is just a cut above the rest. It's a tremendously powerful movie. Somebody described it as a love affair between two men, two fellow prisoners. I think it's a story of a friendship rather than a love affair. Mm. Over very, very many years in prison, it's the story of a young man overcoming incredible misfortune in his life, being jailed for a crime that he didn't commit, and how he deals with the harsh reality of life in prison. Very, very powerful. And some very moving moments, very, very thought-provoking. It made me think, made me understand how difficult it is for somebody coming out of prison after a long period. There's one character who commits suicide after being released after a long, long period because he simply can't adjust to life in the outside world. It's thought-provoking, it's powerful, it's moving. It's just an all-round great movie.
It is a great movie. And there would have been a time, of course, where as Home Secretary, which you will be if you hold that shadow position, and if, of course, the Conservatives win at an election, there would have been a time when you would have been in charge of the prisons. Not anymore. Is that something that you would like to have a go at one day?
Well, I think a lot of work to be done in our prisons. I mean, it's now separated into two departments, and to be frank, sorting out the immigration system, sorting out policing and helping our police tackle antisocial behaviour, as well as dealing with the huge threat of terrorism, it's frankly a big enough job anyway. Mm. But the two departments need to work very closely together. The Justice Department looks after prisons, the Home Office have got to be absolutely hand in glove, because if they're not, then we end up with a very disjointed criminal justice system.
And of course, if you were in charge of prisons, you could hardly pick as your favourite film one in which someone escapes at the end from prison. That wouldn't do at all.
Well, that's true, though. He does escape in a particularly unsalubrious way down a sewer pipe, so anybody who can do that deserves some credit.
Absolutely, and he had done a fair amount of time as well. And he was innocent, of course, as well, we should point out.
That is rather important, yes.
Yeah,
very important
about this fictional character, which we're trying not to libel for some reason. Right, your second song choice before we go into any more weird and wonderful territory it's a rock epic, isn't it? It's Guns N' Roses' November Rain, which is one of their more colourful songs, and that's a band who've done so many colourful songs over the years Anyway, why have you gone for this one, Chris?
Well, you know, there's temptation on these kinds of programmes to say, well, it reminds me of some great incident in my life. That would be nonsense. It's just a great song and I love it.
Reason, if anyone needed to go for a song like this, it is November Rain. It's Guns N' Roses on City Talk 105.9. What an epic. I hope that has got you rocking in the aisles. That was the second choice on Take 5 of Chris Grayling, MP, Shadow Home Secretary, who is choosing the five tunes he would save from a metaphorical fire, as well as a film. He's already chosen that, The Shawshank Redemption. He's also going to be choosing three more tunes, of course, plus a book, an object and a photograph as well. Find out which ones he goes for. Stay with us, back in a couple of minutes. City Talk 105.9. City Talk 105.9, this is the home of great music and great conversation, and this is Take 5 with me, Will Batchelor. It's a new show, and it asks each day a different studio guest to imagine themselves in a metaphorical house fire where they've got themselves out, they've got their loved ones out, and they've even got the cats and dogs and hamsters out as well, and all they have to do now is dash back in and collect desperately their five favourite records, five pieces of steaming hot vinyl they will whisk from the flames, as well as a book, a film, a photograph and an object as well. And the person today who is gamely putting himself into that metaphorical scenario is Chris Grayling, MP. He's the Shadow Home Secretary and Minister for Merseyside. And Chris, you've been choosing a couple of songs already. And the next one you're going to go for, well, I'm a bit suspicious about this. It's Smile by Lily Allen. Now, tell me this. Did you choose all of these songs yourself, or is this a list compiled by Conservative Central Office to make you seem like a man of the people?
Well, I did want to try and pick something that didn't make me look like a complete fossil, but I have to confess in our household, I am the Lily Allen fan.
Really?
Even though she's young enough to be my daughter, I just think she's a great musician. I mean, she's got a pretty distinctive style. Her lyrics are brilliant, wonderfully insightful, great songs, but actually very, very perceptive about some of the challenges and some of the issues in our society today. So I think she's a really talented musician, really effective musician. She's just a great performer as well.
She is. And of course, as you said, you've got a daughter who's about 17 now, 16, your daughter?
16.
So not too far from Lily Allen's age. Is Lily Allen a positive role model, would you say, for young women?
Not always. She's had her moments. There are moments when she doesn't perhaps live up to all one would wish. I mean, you know, in Alfie, for example, there's a line about going out and spraying walls, just for a case in point. But also, I mean, I've sat and listened to her talk about young people's issues, and she's a pretty good ambassador for young people. She doesn't always get the behaviour bits right, but you could do worse as a daughter, I have to say.
Absolutely. Well, we'll play Smile by Lily Allen in a second, but you just mentioned her, your daughter. You have a son as well, and I believe they are the subjects of the photograph that you're going to save from the flames.
They are indeed. I'm going to rush in. I thought about which photograph to save. I'm going to rush in and pluck out of the pile the picture of the two of them smiling cheekily when they were young from the side of the pirate ship at Disneyland Paris. And I think, you know, if your house burns down, one of the things you risk losing are the memories of your children's childhood. Mm. And you can't just recapture those. And so I'd want to take one of those with me. And they grow up pretty fast. It seems only a short while ago that my daughter was a little babe, and now she's been doing her GCSEs, so they grow up pretty quickly, and you want to capture some of those early memories.
And I hope your daughter is suitably embarrassed by the fact that her dad is a Lily Allen fan. Would this interview cause her to cringe?
I'm sure the interview would cause her to cringe anyway, since children always find their parents embarrassing.
Absolutely, you have to embarrass your children. That's mission accomplished as far as you are concerned, Chris Grayling. Well, let's have a blast of it now. Your daughter must cover her ears, because I'm afraid, what's your daughter's name?
Laura.
Laura, your dad is a Lily Allen fan. This is Smile on City Talk 105.9. City Talk 105.9, that was, of course, Smile by Lily Allen. And this is Take 5 with me, Will Batchelor, joined in the studio by Chris Grayling, MP. He is the Shadow Home Secretary, and he is talking us through which five records he would save were his house to burn down. Of course, he gets his family and himself and all the living things out of the house first. And you also, Chris, get to save a book as well on your way out. And the one you have gone for is it's an old classic. It's The Count of Monte Cristo by Alexander Dumas. Why have you gone for this one?
Well, we've gone from the super modern with Lily Allen to the super old with Alexander Dumas. I just love The Count of Monte Cristo as a book. It's a great swashbuckling tale. It's action-packed. It's full of suspense. It's full of unexpected twists. It's the story of a young man about to get married who is wrenched away from his bride by fierce rivals, is wrongly imprisoned in a deep dungeon, left there for 15 years, and then quite by chance meets a man with a secret hidden treasure trove, and the rest of the book is about how he uses that treasure trove, escapes from prison, and wreaks terrible vengeance on the people who put him there. So it's a great tale, and I just love reading it. I've read it again and again over the years. I could, you know, within reason, you know, always come back to it from time to time.
Sounds fantastic. You used the word swashbuckling there, which is interesting, because I think swashbuckling at the moment is a word I would use to describe the manner of the Conservative Party, particularly some of you guys on the front bench. Is it the case that you can taste victory at the moment and you're walking around with renewed swagger, with a renewed spring in your step, with a joie de vivre, but that you've lacked in the past because you can see the finish line in sight and you think you're going to be in power within the next 2 years?
Actually, I'd say anything but that, to be honest. I mean, I think I would describe the mood at the moment as one of slight trepidation. First of all, because we actually face a huge challenge to win the next election. Gordon Brown only needs to lose 25 seats to lose the general election. Mm. We have to gain 125 seats to form a majority government and be able to govern effectively. That's a really big challenge. It's as big a victory as 1945 when Labour were elected after the war. It's as big as 1997 when Tony Blair was elected. That's a really big challenge. And even if we get there and we're determined to do everything we can to get there, then there's a challenge of sorting out the mess that's been left behind. This huge deficit in our public finances. You know, this year we're going to borrow as a nation something like £200 billion. Mm. Huge number, beyond most people's comprehension. But to give you a comparison, when the current government came to power in 1997, our entire national debt, the debt we've built up over every year since Napoleonic times, was only £350 billion, less than twice the amount we're borrowing in this year alone. And now that's a huge challenge for us. If we carry on this way, we will be bankrupt as a nation. We're going to have to change things. We're going to have to start to balance the books again. We're going to have to start to pick up the pieces after a right royal mess has been created.
And can you do that? I mean, it seems to me that the damage has already been done. How can you possibly make any difference to that enormous debt without making some incredibly painful swinging cuts?
Well, there are difficult decisions ahead. I mean, there are things we will not be able to afford, you know, like the ID card project, for example. Billions of pounds being spent on a project that we genuinely can't afford. We have this idea in the Northwest of a voluntary ID card scheme, which the government's pushing ahead with as if the terrorists are really going to go down to Boots on a Saturday morning and get their own ID cards. There are lots of things that we can't afford. We've got to avoid making changes in the front line, in classrooms and in hospitals. But, you know, people can look at government and see how much money is being wasted and how much money is being wasted. We have to change all of that. If we don't, the reason we have no option is that we will go bankrupt as a nation. And we can't afford to do that.
And yet, is the Conservative Party the right party to take the bankers into hand? We all know that a lot of this problem was caused by reckless bankers. And yet, if there's one party you would think that will treat them even more leniently than Gordon Brown and the Labour Party, it would be you guys and the Tories, wouldn't it?
Well, just the opposite. I think David Cameron's been very robust about the bankers and about the mistakes that have been made. But we mustn't lull ourselves into the belief that it's the banking crisis that's caused the big problems for government finances. It's made matters worse. But the fact is, the government's been spending far more money than we can afford. And it's continued to spend more and more money that we can't afford. And so it's about the government wasting money. Yes, the banking crisis has made things worse, but we would have had these difficulties anyway because the government's spending more money as a nation, more money on our behalf than we've got. And you can't do that. Anybody who's tried to balance their household books for a long period of time knows you can't go on month after month after month spending more money than you're earning without eventually creating a major problem. And that's where we are today.
Chris Grayling, MP, Shadow Home Secretary. He is my studio guest for this hour on Take 5 on City Talk 105.9, and he is choosing which 5 records, plus some other items he would save from a metaphorical house fire. We've had 3 tunes already, Smile by Lily Allen, November Rain by Guns N' Roses, and Your Latest Trick by Dire Straits, to find out which 2 others he would save, and a precious object as well. Stay tuned. This is City Talk 105.9. City Talk 105.9, this is the home of great music and great conversation, and this is Take 5 with me, Will Batchelor, and my studio guest, Chris Grayling MP, Shadow Home Secretary and Shadow Minister for Merseyside. Well, we say shadow, but there isn't kind of an opposite number in the government, but we know what we mean. He's a Conservative, he's in opposition at the moment, and he very much wants to be in power, although he says that they have a big job to do yet. We shall wait and see. Chris, your next record that you're going to pick, your 4th record, is by Bruce Springsteen, who is seen by many as a blue-collar hero to the American working class, if you like. You are not blue-collar, I think it's fair to say. You grew up in London and Guildford, Surrey. You spent some time in leafy Cheshire as well. You were educated at Cambridge. You have done jobs in the BBC and Channel 4 as a producer. And then you went into politics. Do you think there would be more respect for you amid the country if you'd had, quotes, a proper job, like being, I don't know, a steel worker or a miner?
Well, I think you need a mix of the two. I mean, one of my best friends at Westminster, our chief whip, Patrick McLaughlin, is a former coal miner, Conservative MP, very experienced politician, a very effective politician. And you'll find on the Conservative benches a whole range of people from different backgrounds. We've got people who've been teachers, we've got people who've got nurses. Not actually enough. I mean, David Cameron's been very clear in saying that we want more people to come forward who've had careers in the public sector, for example, in teaching, in education, in the health service. But at the same time, we've got people who run businesses, large and small. We've got people who've done very different things. We've got people who've got experience in farming, of country life, as well as of city life. I think one of the things a political party needs is a really good mix of people. So you've got a range of experience to bring to the job. And I think that you can't get by if everybody comes from the same background.
And yet an accusation often thrown at the Conservative Party is that you are playing politics. I think someone, I can't remember what it was called, you student politicians, overgrown student politicians. Do you think that the ranks of the Conservative Party are full of careerist politicians who've gone university, job as a researcher in Parliament, eventually get an MP seat and have never tasted the real world?
I think it's very few, actually. Most of the colleagues I was elected with in 2001, most of those who were elected in 2005, have had serious jobs in the real world. Not enough have come from an education background, not enough have come from the shop floor, for example, and would like to see more people coming through who've got that kind of experience. But actually, there's a huge amount of good management experience on the Conservative benches. I think that's really important if you're going to try and form a government. I think one of the weaknesses for the current government is actually very few of them have held management positions, have had experience of running organisations. And that, I think, is a weakness if you're trying to become a government minister.
Well, another word for management is being the boss, and Bruce Springsteen is definitely the boss, and he is your fourth choice for Take Five, Chris Grayling. Why have you gone for Bruce, and why this particular track, Streets of Philadelphia?
Well, I've been a Bruce fan since the 1970s. I was, for me, the album, defining album, as I was, coming into my student years, was The River. I love The River. I love Born to Run. But actually, The Streets of Philadelphia is by far his best song. It's evocative, it's powerful, it's all about the tragic story of a man dying of AIDS. This is just Bruce Springsteen at his best.
Let's have a blast, shall we? It is Bruce Springsteen on City Talk 105.9. It's the choice of Chris Grayling, The Streets of Philadelphia. City Talk 105.9, that was, of course, Bruce Springsteen and The Streets of Philadelphia, a haunting tune, and the choice of Chris Grayling, MP, Shadow Home Secretary, who is my studio guest for this hour on City Talk. He's going through the five records he would save from a metaphorical house fire. And we've only got one to go, Chris. Before we move on to that one, will you also get to choose an object that you pluck from the flames as well? What are you going to go for? Some wonderful old antique or heirloom?
Well, I was careful to check to make sure the cat was safe first, as I would not live in the eyes of the rest of my family if we rushed from the flames and the cat was left behind to sizzle away.
No, of course not. And we always say on Take Five, all living things are definitely out of the buildings. There's nothing to worry about, including your cat. What's your cat called, Chris?
The cat is called Biscuit.
And was that named by you?
No, I think it was named by one of the children. But he's a cat with attitude, a great personality, and would be much missed. So I think he has to be rescued up front.
And is Biscuit, has he reached a ripe old age? Or is
he's
he still...
nine.
Yeah, nine's quite good. That's about, what's about Bruce Springsteen's age, I think, in human terms.
Absolutely, that's the one.
So that's good. No,
However, he's lazy. He definitely does not have the same level of activity as Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, he'd look more like one of the E Street Band.
That's the one.
Okay, well, Biscuit is safe. Don't worry about that. But you can take an inanimate object out of the building.
Well, so then I thought around, and there's things you could rescue with sentimental value, like the china fish left to me by my grandmother. But actually, nobody knows me would believe me if I did anything else but rush from the house with my iPhone clasped in my hand, since it seems to travel with me everywhere I go and be clasped in my ear or clasped in my hands a lot of the time. So everyone will expect me to rescue the iPhone, so I think I better do that. And of course, you can cheat a bit because it takes the whole record collection with it, even though I'm not supposed to in this program.
Of course, yes. We ignore the fact that such modern devices exist in terms of that. We're still on vinyl on this particular show, but you're right, the iPhone is one of those gadgets beloved of many people. It almost depresses me, I think, that that's the one object we would save, but I think I might be on the same lines myself. iPhones, of course, are famous for having all sorts of weird and wonderful applications. Like, I think you can have a spirit level on one of them.
I have one that gives you an electric shock. I think I've actually got the spirit level as well. I've got a football game, play a full Premiership season if you want. And
How does the electric shock thing work?
I could reach across and touch it, except the phone's switched off and you've been well behaved for the studio. You touch it and it goes bzzz.
Are you tempted to slip it down the back ever of a colleague on the front benches, maybe during a particularly boring Prime Minister's question time?
Yeah, there have been one or two occasions where you might go for it, that's true.
Fantastic. Well, I tell you what, if we ever see, I don't know, Theresa May sit up with a bolt during a debate and we see you giggling mischievously, that is your iPhone with the electric shock application. They are, of course, very serious devices as well. I know that when you sent me this morning your choices for this show, they were sent from your iPhone as you were on the train. Do you think that's a symptom of politics at the moment and possibly for a long time since? You guys have a bad reputation at the moment and politics has been through the mill. And yet what people don't realise is that you also put in a fairly long day at the coalface.
I mean, it is a 24/7 job, particularly when you've got a senior front bench job. And the Home Office is a brief that is very diverse. It can deliver the unexpected, it can deliver the horrendous in terms of terror attacks. God forbid there should be any more of those. It delivers the unexpected, like, you know, the foreign prisoners issue. Suddenly story can emerge from nowhere. And so you do need to be in touch all of the time. You need to be able to respond quickly, and that requires you to be connected. So, I mean, it doesn't have to be an iPhone, but in terms of being in constant contact and also having ready sources of data downloads so you can keep up with the news, you can pick up a story that's breaking.
And yet, if you forgive me for interrupting, isn't that the problem of modern politics, that people like you feel the need to be instantly able to give a soundbite quote on any breaking news story? Whereas actually, perhaps the public might have more respect if you sat back and said, do you know what, I don't know the full facts of this story yet, so I'm going to concentrate on my job, which is to give proper, well-thought-out, detailed answers to long-term problems and not simply give an off-the-cuff comment to the story of the day for the breaking news channels.
Well, I do try and do that. I mean, a number of occasions when I refuse to comment, I mean, most recently on the 7th of July, it's very tempting to wade in and talk about terrorism on the anniversary of the horrendous incidents in London. I thought it was wrong to do so. And a variety of occasions where maybe the government gets something right, and I think it's right and proper that one is constructive and says, yes, on this occasion, I think they're right.
And do you do that?
Absolutely. And we have constructive, positive debates in the House of Commons. We had a debate about youth knife crime a couple of weeks ago, which was deliberately designed to be a very measured, thoughtful debate so that people from across the House of Commons could put forward genuinely sensible ideas about what we can do. You know, this is an issue that every single politician in the country wants to see addressed. We may have differences of ideas about how you do it, but there are times, and actually more often than people think, it's the stuff that's not on television because it's not exciting, where there is very constructive, sensible, thoughtful debate in the House of Commons. People love watching the banter and the news organisations like putting forward the banter of Prime Minister's questions, the great political repartee, actually distorts the image of politics as it really is. Politics as it really is a much more measured, thoughtful process.
So have you got people you would class as mates on the other side of the floor? Have you got Labour politicians who you would say, he's my pal, you know, I'd go out for a pint with him or text him a joke or something like that?
Yes, I mean, I'm not sure about the texting a joke, but I mean, there are genuinely good relations that exist between people in different parties. You know, and there are, you know, Labour politicians who I would happily sit down and have a beer with, who I talk to regularly. Everyone in this country who goes into politics, I believe, or virtually everyone, not universally, virtually everyone goes into it for the right reasons, because they want to make a difference, they want to make a positive difference. And I think that's where actually people are too cynical about politics. The things that divide us are differences of opinion about how we improve things, not a difference of opinion about the need to improve things. And that's important. And I think sometimes people think ill of politicians because we don't do a good enough job of trying to make clear that we are there for the greater good.
But if you're friends with someone and then you win an election, you would celebrate wildly, of course, and yet you'd be celebrating effectively some of your mates losing their jobs. How does that even work?
The world is sometimes not fair. And at the end of the day, the fact that they've lost their seat doesn't mean you can't maintain good relations. There have been plenty of examples in the past where a new government has come in and has actually kept people who've been on the opposing side on in particular roles. And I think we have to be grown up about it. That politics, yes, there are enmities in politics, but there are enmities within political parties as well as across the political spectrum. But we're there to make a difference. We're there to make a positive difference. People have a pretty cynical view about their politicians. Actually, we're not all in it for ourselves. We work long hours because we want to make a difference both for individuals and collectively. We don't always get it right. Sometimes we get it badly wrong, as we have on occasions recently. But the reality is that politicians on all sides, from Tony Blair and Gordon Brown to David Cameron to Michael Howard to all those who have played leading parts in politics in recent years, ultimately it's because we want to make a difference in the right way.
And as you said, if you don't put on the Punch and Judy show, you are accused of being involved in a boring business.
And absolutely. And people, those people who are upset with the government of the day will come to you and berate you for saying, why aren't you being tougher? Why aren't you laying gloves on Gordon Brown? So, you know, you actually can't win. It actually needs a bit of both.
And Being Boring is the title of your fifth and final track, Chris Grayling. It's by the Pet Shop Boys, of course, one of their commercially less successful songs, but the critics would say one of the best ones, and I absolutely love it too. Is there a reason that you've gone for this track?
I'm afraid, same reasons before. Great song, very powerful song, and, you know, brilliant piece of music.
Well, let's hear it, shall we? It's City Talk 105.9, Take 5, and this is the Pet Shop Boys and Being Boring. City Talk 105.9, the home of great music and great conversation. That was the Pet Shop Boys and Being Boring. You weren't around, or you certainly weren't in Parliament, Chris, when John Major was PM, but he was often accused of being boring. There's no connotations to be drawn there, is there?
No, not at all. And in fact, I always thought at the time, because John Major is actually a charming man, he's a delightful man, if you could have stuck him on every doorstep in the land, people would have voted for him.
Also, a cricket fan. I believe you're a big cricket fan as well.
Yes, I mean, I spend rather less time than I used to. I used to go to the Test matches every year. Time really doesn't permit now, but I was glued to my screen yesterday afternoon for the conclusion of the first Ashes Test. A classic bit of English cricket. England gloriously digging out a draw at the last against the Aussies.
Oh, come on, it wasn't that glorious, was it?
Eyes of the dressing room, it was a miracle, frankly.
I don't think Ricky Ponting thought it was glorious. I think he thought that that foul play was at work, with sort of time-wasting going on.
I have to say, though, we have great relations with the nation of Australia. It doesn't cause many people in this country that much grief to see Australia with a mild setback on the cricket pitch,
no,
that's for sure.
This is true. Although, I've got to say, we must touch on sport before you go, because obviously if you're going to be Minister for Merseyside, you need to express opinions about sport. Do you think that 4 years ago in 2005, when England won the Ashes, we overreacted a little bit by handing out all those gongs and knighthoods and various other medals that were flying around?
Yeah, I think the honours system could be used too liberally. It's there in the sporting world to mark great achievements. And I think, you know, it's right that someone like Stephen Redgrave, for example, who is one of the great Olympians of all time, and a sportsman in this country should be proud of, and is proud of, should be given a knighthood. And I think there's some great cricketers, I think, yeah, that many of those who won the Ashes last time round do and did deserve honours, but I'm not sure they should be handed out in the middle of a career. I think there's something to mark the end of a great career.
What about someone like, let's say, Stephen Gerrard, towards the end of his, well, he's not now, but when he is towards the end of his career, a man who has shown loyalty to his home football club, a man who has shown exceptional skills both for Liverpool and England, would he be the sort of sportsman who you would see maybe picking up a gong towards the end of his career?
I wouldn't be at all surprised if he does. I think that, you know, what do you look for in a sportsman? You look for loyalty, you look for achievement, you look for a contribution to the nation, you look for a willingness to do good works away from the sports pitch. So he has every chance of doing so, I would have thought.
The only reason I really made you say that, Chris Grayling MP, was that I know that you happen to support Manchester United, and I thought it'd be fun to make you praise Stephen Gerrard for a while.
Oh, actually, I've done it before. I mean, I've always cited Stephen Gerrard in the past as a great role model in sport. So I have every time for Stephen Gerrard. I think he's great. You know, I mean, he's one of our great England footballers.
And what about enmity, in horse racing? You represent Epsom, home of the Epsom Derby. We're here in Liverpool, home of the Grand National. If you had to pin your colours to one particular mast, which race is better?
Well, but they're different. You see, one's over jumps and one's on the flat. So one can safely say the Grand National is the greatest race over fences in the world, and the Epsom Derby is the greatest flat race in the world.
If I were to take your pulse after each race, Chris Grayling, which one do you think would set your pulse fluttering quicker?
Well, the Grand National is a longer and bigger event, but far from me to choose. They're both great events, and I think we should be proud of both of them as a nation.
A fantastic politician's answer. I shall try and dig you out on that one another day, because time has beaten us on this one. Chris Grayling, MP and Shadow Home Secretary and Shadow Minister for Merseyside, thank you for joining us on Take 5 today.